Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Is there too much money in American democracy? While the large majority of Americans say yes, some aren't so sure. Here's what the four leading presidential candidates have to say about it, and they are Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump.
What we are debating is a constitutional amendment that 49 Democrats are proposing.
We have got to fight to defend American democracy and not allow billionaires to take it over. What you are looking at now is a situation where billionaires are going to control the political process. And if we do not get our act together, we are moving rapidly down the road to an oligarchic form of society where billionaires control not only the economic life of the nation, but the political life as well.
Now, Senator Sanders and I both want to get secret, unaccountable money out of politics. And let's remember, Citizens United, one of the worst Supreme Court decisions in our country's history, was actually a case about a right-wing attack on me and my campaign. A right-wing organization took aim at me and ended up damaging our entire democracy. So yes, you're not going to find anybody more committed to aggressive campaign finance reform than me.
Whenever Congress acts in the area of political speech, the touchstone for everything we do should be the First Amendment to the Constitution. And I think that the public should be particularly skeptical when you have elected politicians of either party enacting rules limiting the ability of public citizens to criticize the behavior of their elected officials. In my view, the First Amendment was created precisely to ensure that the citizens could speak without the men and women who sit in this body restricting what they say.
I love the idea of campaign finance reform. And one of the things you should do is everybody should be known. If somebody gives $1 million or $2 million or $5 million, it should be known. And I will tell you this nonsense with PACs where they have millions of dollars raised, $100 million raised, and they don't coordinate with the other people. I mean, Bush puts his best friend in there. They don't talk. You're not allowed to talk. Do you really believe that that doesn't happen? Okay? They're not allowed to talk, okay? They play golf on Saturday, but they don't talk about the $100 million or where they're going to invest. Come on. We're not babies. It's a shame. It's a disgrace.
We're talking about all of the money that's flowing into our elections. Is it breaking American democracy? We're joined by Wendell Potter and Nick Penniman. They have just released a new book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy. And welcome to The Source, Wendell and Nick.
Thanks very much.
Hi, David. Welcome. Thanks.
Our phone lines are open. If you had a question or a comment, if you want to talk about money and politics, the number to call is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. A well-timed book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. So, Nick, how much money is flowing into this election?
An enormous amount. This is expected to be a $10 billion election cycle. And just to put that in perspective, the 2000 cycle was a $3 billion cycle. So we've almost tripled the amount of money going into politics just in the last four election cycles, presidential election cycles.
And I just saw, you know, Jeb Bush, he probably raised almost all of that by himself. And where is he now? I mean, Wendell, does it really work?
Money really works on many different levels. But first of all, you have to have a candidate that people are willing to rally behind. So I think that was the biggest problem of Jeb Bush's campaign. What we do with this book is help connect the dots for people to understand that we're not just talking about the money that's spent in the presidential election, and enormous amounts of money are indeed and will continue to be spent to elect the next president, but also at all levels of government, Congress, certainly members of the Senate and the House, but also at the state and local levels. The money that that Nick mentioned is not just to elect. It is the whole of our political process, our political system, and how it has become corrupted by the amount of money that flows into it by the special interest.
Where does this money end up? Okay, the candidates raise the money from the billionaires or whoever, or maybe they get all these $27 donations for Bernie Sanders. But eventually the money ends up in somebody's pocket. Where does that money go, Nick?
So 85% of the money in the last cycle, the 2014 cycle, we obviously don't have a good picture of 2016 yet, but in the last cycle, 85% of that money goes directly to political campaigns. The rest, the 15%, is what's called outside money, which includes super PAC money, by the way. You know, a lot is being made of super PACs, but we got to remember it's not the biggest proportion. The biggest proportion of the money are these $2,700 contributions, which is called the hard money maximum contribution. Hard money meaning money directly to the politicians' campaigns. That's the bulk of the money. And so that goes into their campaign coffers, you know, Congressman X and Senator Y, goes directly into their campaign coffers, and then it gets spent.
But how does it get spent? You can only buy so many bagels. I mean, where does the money go?
Well, it goes into ads. I mean, anyone in New Hampshire and Iowa has lived through the hell of it, and certainly the people who live in swing states have too. I mean, I'm sure that Texas was bombarded during the last couple of weeks during the primary down there. That's where the bulk of the money goes. And, you know, in an era where you not only have TV and radio advertising, but also online advertising, where these candidates can really micro-target voters, a lot's starting to shift over to there, too.
So to me, it seems like that's really the secret sauce. This is money being raised in bulk to pay for TV advertising. So is that the fix, trying to figure out the TV advertising situation? Maybe if that can be dealt with, then they wouldn't need so much money, and we wouldn't have to go to the special interest to find it. Nick,
I was talking to someone who is the co-chair of the Democratic Senate Super PAC. Okay, so this is a person who raised an enormous amount of money, and when I brought up the free airtime idea with her, she said, "Oh, great." She said, "You give us free airtime? That's great. We'll bank that, and then we'll just go buy more." So I don't think so, unfortunately, number one. Number two, the real problem with money in politics is not so much in the spending of it, but in the raising of it and the giving of it. And what Wendell and I outline in the book, especially in the middle of the book, is that the day-in, day-out process of raising and getting all that money into their campaign coffers is distorting the system away from the common good and towards the very specific needs of the special interests. So I'll just give you one quick example. Members of Congress spend 4 hours a day dialing for dollars to rich people. And that's not us just speculating that. That was actually in a PowerPoint presentation that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee delivered to Democrats in the House. They said you should spend 4 hours of call time a day just dialing for dollars from rich people. And then another hour of their day is spent in what's called strategic outreach. Well, that's in-person fundraising in Washington at posh restaurants in D.C., raising money from the very special interests.
Nick, I got to take a break.
To be regulating.
Nick, I got to take a break. We'll come right back.
Sure.
We'll pick up this thread. Why so much money in politics? Where does it come from? Where does it go? And what does it mean to you? This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. What's happening to American democracy with super PAC special interest, massive media buys, and the never-ending demand for campaign cash is the voice of the people being drowned out by the few billionaires who are donating big dollars. Is this legalized corruption? Is there a battle plan for reform? We're joined by Wendell Potter. He is the senior analyst at the Center for Public Integrity and a former Washington correspondent for Scripps Howard newspaper. Also, we're joined by Nick Penniman. He is the executive director of Issue One, and they work to reduce the influence in money in politics. They just released a new book called Nation on the Take: How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And when we were going to break, we are hearing about how much time, how many hours out of the day our elected leaders, our congresspeople in D.C. spend just raising money? I mean, so what? I mean, they need money, right?
They need money, but what you're finding is that the people that we elect, our employees, are really working for the special interests. That's who their allegiance is to. When you are raising that much money from people who are much wealthier than your regular constituents, and then we're talking about the people that they call typically are people who don't even live in their districts. So that is the biggest problem here. When I was a reporter, you mentioned I was a reporter at Scripps Howard. That was quite a few years ago, and this was long before money became such a necessary evil, if you will, for our members of Congress to get elected and stay elected. Part of the problem also is just the fact that it's a constant campaigning for members of the House. They raise money to be elected, and then almost immediately are raising money in the same way for their reelection campaign. And they do that because they know if they don't, particularly if they're in a swing district, that their opponents will be doing exactly the same thing that they need to be doing to raise this money.
Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. We invite you into our conversation as we talk about all that money in our elections. Ray is on the line. And Ray, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Ray. And Ray.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, bud, you're on the air.
All right, thanks for having me. I just wanted to make a comment. I feel that, you know, sometimes we say that money corrupts politics, but I feel that the people who do donate and maybe max out and are really involved get a negative looked upon. You know, they're looked upon negatively when so many people like Bernie Sanders are getting money from smaller donors and things, and it's trying to get someone who's motivated. I think like Jeb Bush not winning is kind of a reason. He had all the money, yet he didn't get voted. So it still comes down to the person. I feel kind of like that anti-establishment feel that let's just go after all the people who are involved and who do invest some of their money into the political system. I feel that maybe we need to do a better message on making this important for everybody to donate, if it's $2, $5, or $10. To really get that message out. That's just my comment.
Okay, Ray, thanks for calling in with that. So, Nick, are more people giving, across the board, people for, Sanders?
Yeah, the Sanders model, I completely agree with your caller. The Sanders model is what we want for every political campaign in America. We want politics to be driven by and funded by regular Americans who can give, $5, $10, $50, but not by the millionaires and billionaires who can easily max out at $2,700 to multiple campaigns, which is what they mostly do. They write dozens, if not hundreds, of checks like that, plus do the big, $10, $15, $20 million checks to the super PAC. So we're not, it's a misnomer when people talk about getting money out of politics. What Wendell and I talk about in the book is rerouting who funds politics so that politics is funded by all of us, by the people, and not just by the wealthy and well-connected few.
Another caller with Tim. And Tim, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. I think Ray touched on something that's very important. Former President Jimmy Carter has actually gone on record saying that the United States is no longer a democracy but an oligarchy. And I think money in politics is very, illustrative of that. And the fact that we need campaign finance reform. When special interest groups and lobbyists are able to elect their own representatives in the government, they're able to deregulate everything, defund large, publicly funded programs that benefit the vast majority of Americans in order to give their own companies breaks, which is obviously detrimental to the larger degree of society that needs those programs in the first place.
Okay, Tim, thank you for that. So Tim brings up the point that when you are a special interest, you get special attention in Washington, D.C. I think we're seeing this on the issue of climate change when there's a lot of momentum among the public looking for solutions, but because they don't have lobbyists, they're not getting any kind of traction on Capitol Hill. Nick?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. But it also, we highlight in the middle of the book five different industries, from finance to healthcare to obesity, we map it out all across issues. It's not just big things like climate change. This is an issue that affects our daily lives. It affects the laws that are made, and they're either being made on behalf of the common good or on behalf of narrow special interests, as Tim just said, your caller just said. And what worries us is that increasingly what you see is that the only laws that can get passed are ones that are backed by well-financed, narrow special interests. All the big ones either get severely watered down, so they don't really have the effect that they should have, or they never see the light of day.
I'm going to play another clip. This is also from Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He is on the floor of the Senate. He is speaking about a proposed constitutional amendment that would revoke Citizens United and talking about unintended consequences from such a bill.
What we are debating is a constitutional amendment that 49 Democrats are proposing to be inserted into the Bill of Rights. And so the only question is not the intention of those senators, but rather what would that amendment say? And what the amendment says is for any corporation, Congress would have the constitutional authority to prohibit it from engaging in political speech. Well, NBC, which airs Saturday Night Live, is a corporation. Under this amendment, 49 Democrats have signed their name to, Congress would have the power to make it a criminal offense. Lorne Michaels could be put in jail under this amendment for making fun of any politician. That is extraordinary, it is breathtaking, and it is dangerous.
Wendell Potter, is that poppycock? Ted Cruz says you try to get campaign finance reform, it would have other unintended consequences.
You know, poppycock is a good word for it. Ted Cruz, I think, espouses or says that we need to have transparency, and on that we can agree that it is important for the American public to know who is donating what amounts to which politicians and political efforts. But this is fundamentally something that needs to be addressed in terms of making sure that the people who are not wealthy have the means to still self-govern. What is at stake here is their ability to self-govern. We've lost that in many ways. I think that the use of the term oligarchy is not hyperbole at all. We have increasingly government that is controlled by the very few, and the public policy that is made by Congress and state lawmakers is often bent to their interest.
So, Nick, how do we get to the point where we think money is free speech?
Oh, it's such a distortion that what Cruz said. And by the way, Cruz agreed. He 2 weeks ago he was asked about Bernie Sanders. And he said, the one thing that I agree with Bernie on is that money dominates politics in Washington and that the Washington cartel, which is Cruz's phrase, has taken over. So, when Cruz talks about this threatening the First Amendment in some way, that's just a complete misnomer. That notion was established in 1976 in a Supreme Court decision called Buckley versus Valeo, which asserted that the spending of money in the context of politics should be protected as an act of speech. No one has ever challenged that notion. No one has ever challenged that notion. We all agree. Lorne Michaels should be able to spend money. The NRA should be able to spend money. The Sierra Club should be able to spend money. No one's challenging the notion that nonprofit corporations, for-profit corporations, should be able to air content in the context of politics. It's absurd for anyone to suggest that anyone's challenged that. So this whole kind of distraction about the First Amendment is just misguided. No one's attempting to threaten the First Amendment. All we're talking about doing is creating a system that is financed by all of us, by small donors, as opposed to by the big guys, adding some transparency to the system so that there's no dark money, and then delinking lobbying and money, because right now lobbyists are bundling an enormous amount of money for politicians. We just want to end that practice. That's what we're talking about.
So we have changes happening on the U.S. Supreme Court. Maybe we'll see a reversal with Citizens United. Is that going to be the silver bullet that fixes this, Wendell?
No, it's not. Certainly Citizens United is problematic. But as Nick and I write, 85% of the money that we're talking about here is money that a change in Citizens United really wouldn't affect. Much of the money that is being spent is hard money. It's money that has long been legal or been legal in recent years, and that is the most corrupting.
Jack Abramoff, his super lobbyist scandal, it was breathtaking in scope and the amount of money and what it revealed, but it seems like it's a lesson that's already been forgotten, Nick.
No, definitely. I mean, Washington is much more occupied territory by the lobbyists and the special interests than it ever has been. I mean, just look at the sausage-making around financial reform. That occurred in the wake of the Abramoff scandal and in the wake of the fixes to Abramoff. So there were laws passed in the wake of the Abramoff scandal. And you know, I mean, as Gretchen Morgenson, who's the chief financial reporter for the New York Times, said when asked if we accomplished the big stuff with financial reform, she said, no, absolutely not. We didn't. And when asked why, she said, because the lobbyists blocked it all.
And because we've got a nation on the take, that's the title of the book, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy, What We Can Do About It. Wendell Potter and Nick Penniman, thank you all so much for joining us here on The Source.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
And thanks for tuning us in. This is The Source on KSTX.